Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Kenneth Copeland. And I'll tell you, God is moving, and we're right in the middle of it, and you're going to be glad today you joined us. Father, we thank you. I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus, according to John 16:23, that whatsoever I ask you in Jesus' name, you will give it me. I am asking you, sir, to heal people all over this world right now. An absolute outpouring of the former and the latter rain. Mighty signs and wonders and miracles and healings. Open our minds. We open them. We open our eyes and ears, and we receive from you revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Don Colbert, praise God. I am, as you can tell, I'm extremely excited about today. I'm like an old hound dog today. I'm sniffing. I'm looking under every leaf and under every rock. Let's look in Luke chapter 8. I want to read something here that Jesus did and said. He's walking with Jairus to Jairus's house. He's about to raise this girl from the dead. The death messenger has just come. This is an extremely critical moment. I mean, how many different things could Jesus have said to Jairus at that moment? But listen to what he said. When Jesus heard it, he heard that death message, your daughter's already dead, he answered him saying, fear not. He actually said, stop the fear. Stop it right now. Believe only. Don't use anything but your faith. Stop the fear.
That's true.
And she shall be made whole. Now that is an exact process in the kingdom of God. Stop the fear. You stop it right now. I was reading that and doing that, preparing to preach it, and there were some issues that I was dealing with, and I heard the word of the Lord. He said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated.
Powerful.
And the only way I have of cleansing that is to go over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them.
Amen.
And cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, I brought that up right here with Doc for a reason. Now, I want you to get this right quick in the 4th chapter of Mark. The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they've heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise sown on good ground. When they've heard the word, immediately receive with gladness, have no root in themselves, endure but for a time. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, all offense, all becoming offended, all getting my feelings hurt, all of that is fear-based. It is fear-dependent.
And it destroys faith. It's a faith destroyer.
Yeah, it's faith contaminated.
It's bad soil.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you're in a dangerous place now. And think about this. What do I care what you think about me? What do I care? I mean, if I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I know I love you because I don't love you just because you're sweet. I don't love you because you're not sweet. I love you because I'm commanded to.
Amen.
And I choose to receive God's commands. Gloria and I have practiced this for years, as I know Doc and Mary do, that the very moment, if there's anything that even sounds like a crossword, you just stop right there and obey. Hey, no, baby, forgive me, please. Father, you forgive me. I don't care where we are in anywhere in the middle of the street. We deal with it right on the spot.
Amen.
You don't give it 1 second.
Now, amen.
The scripture you brought up from the book of Acts.
It's so powerful. And I've been, again, teaching this to my patients because I take my patients through forgiveness therapy because many of them have unknowingly signed up for disease by harboring offense.
And they come to you to try to get well.
Sure. But again, they're so full of offense and so full of anger and bitterness that it's destroying their faith and it's almost impossible to get well when they are full of offense.
And what good would some kind of drug do? You just dumb it down, numb it down, or whatever you're doing.
Right.
It doesn't go to the root of the situation.
There's a root of bitterness. But Paul said it best in Acts 24, verse 16. He said, this one thing I do. He says, I exercise myself, and that I picture a person at the gym doing curls or lifting weights or pushing, building muscles, but I exercise myself to be free of offense toward God and toward man. See, a lot of people get offended at God. They're angry. Their spouse died or some tragedy happened or some trauma, and they blame God. And so, again, I have to take people through forgiveness therapy to forgive themselves, to forgive someone else, and even to forgive God. And that literally, it starts to bring the peace of God back in their life. It destroys strife and offense and bitterness and anger. And it literally takes them to their secret place where they can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's why in my practice we use now, we're incorporating worship music to take them to their secret place. We literally extract the deadly emotions, especially of offense and anger and bitterness, and then we put them in a state of tremendous worship and peace, and then we literally impart the Word of God, speaking scriptures over them, and it's amazing how we see miracles after doing this type of forgiveness therapy.
Praise God. Let's look at something in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. That's where the mandate of this ministry came 49 years ago. And I wanted you to notice what he said here. He's talking about in verse 12, in 5:12, the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, the first principles of the oracles of God, become such as need of milk, not a strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a baby. Now, here's what I wanted to get to. The strong meat, talking about the strong meat of the word, or in other words, come to a place where you get revelation out of it.
Right.
Belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, the cross-reference says, exercise or training, have their physical senses trained to discern both good and evil. Now, that's good, isn't it? Look at what the apostle said here. Herein do I exercise. I train myself. He's got to be spending some time at this, Doc.
It takes practice. Again,
He's practicing this.
And that's what I try and tell people.
Man, that's good.
America, unfortunately, is the most offended nation on earth. A few years ago, I did some research on offense, and America has over 90% of the lawsuits in the world, yet we're less than 6% of the population of the world. So literally ingrained in the thinking of so many Americans is who's guilty, who's at fault. And as a result, so many people have a spirit of offense that they've exercised, and instead of practicing and exercising forgiveness and being free of offense, we are exercising bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and offense. And when we do that, we paralyze our faith. We cannot experience the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, and the love of God, and the fruit of the Spirit when we have a spirit of offense.
And there's no way you're going to be well.
It's almost impossible to stay well. You're inviting disease in your body when you have a spirit of offense.
I had the Lord say this. The word of the Lord came to me last year and right at the end of the summer there. One who desires to be well. Now, he said, there's a difference between desiring to be well and being tired of being sick.
That's good.
And I never thought about there being
right.
a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But this person has a desire to be well. In other words, there's purpose. He's not just tired of being sick. I need to be well for a reason. And I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I need to be well. I need to be strong. I need to be believing God. There's a lot at stake here for my family and so forth. One who desires to be well will confess healing scriptures every day, will not dare miss taking his supplements, wouldn't eat anything other than God's way of eating, comes tumbling organic Amen. Foods and the right proper choices, sure. just exactly like sure. you're talking about, and this dynamite book you've just written about it. He wouldn't eat anything other than God's way of eating under any circumstance. Now, in Proverbs 23:1-3, mm-hmm. he puts a knife to his throat.
If he be a man given to appetite.
Yeah.
Or he can't control his appetite. That's what we're seeing today.
That's what you're talking about.
But what we're seeing today, instead of putting a knife to their throat, they're putting a knife to their GI tract, and they're having gastric banding, lap bands, they're having gastric sleeves, gastric bypass surgeries in order to turn off their appetite because they can't control their appetite. And they're morbidly obese, and they have diseases like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure and all of these other diseases that are spinoffs. There's 35 major diseases that are consequences or seeds sown when you're obese. 35 major diseases, including 12 different cancers. In other words, when you choose to have belly fat and obesity, you're choosing to have 35 major diseases. Now, Jesus bore 39 stripes on his back to heal us of every disease, but by making a choice, and it's a choice to be obese. And a lot of people say, well, you know, my whole family is obese. It's my genes, you know, or, you know, I've got a slow metabolic rate. My metabolic rate's slow, or we're all fat. Well, I tell people that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you fire on all cylinders with the mind, the emotions, the body, and the spirit, with the mind, the emotions, and the body under control of the spirit, you will do and eat and think the way you should, which your body will then be programmed for weight loss. It's a real simple thing.
And I want to say this to you again. He's talking to me. I went through this. I used to weigh 263 pounds. Can you imagine that?
And how tall are you, Brother Copeland?
Well, at that time, I was about 5'10 and a half.
Okay.
And amen. So I went through, and I could not control it, Doc. I did everything I knew how to do to get that weight off.
Well, what were your main foods that
you
craved?
I don't even want to.
Well,
you just described it all.
Okay.
Doc, bread.
Yes.
Bread was and it just was disastrous for me. I did, and I'm talking about in the natural because I wasn't even born again. I got it down where I was drifting between 235 and 240, and that's just about where I stayed. And I was not ignorant of these things because my mother was a naturopath and chiropractor, and she knew better, right. and she taught me better. I just wouldn't listen.
Sure.
Well, anyway, the day that I left going to ORU, December of 66, I enrolled in January 67. And the Lord laid it on the line with me. He said, you're going to get that fat off your body. I didn't know how other than just don't eat anything but protein for over and over until you get so dumb you can't figure out what your name is, but at least the fat go away for a while. And so the first day I ate 9 boiled eggs. But the beautiful part of it was that God began to cross my paths with people that did know.
Praise
that's
God.
That's important. That's what your life ministry is.
Praise Amen.
And that's
Amen.
The reason what we're hearing today is not only doable, but it's only doable in the Word of God first. because that bread had to go, and it was an addiction that was just monstrous.
Had to be laid on the altar. Let me just tell you a little bit about bread real quick, because a lot of people don't know this. The bread today is not the same as the bread and the wheat was 2,000 years ago when Jesus taught us to pray, saying, give us this day our daily bread. A lot of people say, oh, Jesus ate bread. I need bread. Right now, we have so hybridized and crossbred our wheat that it's highly inflammatory for our bodies and our brains, and it's inviting disease into the body, especially belly fat, type 2 diabetes. Realize when a diabetic eats bread, two slices of bread, it'll spike their blood sugar usually between 80 and 120 points. That means
their sugar... Well, that tells you something right there.
And the other thing about bread and wheat, I'm talking about wheat, pasta, bagels, pretzels, most cereals, most everything has gluten in it nowadays. It's addictive to a lot of people. And about one-third of people, when they go off gluten, they go through withdrawals because there's compounds in the gluten called gluteomorphines that bind to morphine receptors in the brain. And so literally about a third go through withdrawal symptoms of craving wheat, ravenous cravings, depression, headache, nausea, like they got a monkey on their back. And so again, that's why a lot of my patients, I have them lay gluten on the altar and we tell them how to do it. And gluten was highly inflammatory for myself when I was suffering from psoriasis for so many years. It came down to two key thorns I discovered that were the root of the illness. And they were both foods, and I was craving these foods. I was craving one of these foods at every meal. I was eating it every meal, wondering why I couldn't get healed. I was praying for the Lord to heal me because He'd healed me of a massive heat stroke, and my legs, the muscles in my legs were dead. He had healed me. But then about 10 years later, I developed psoriasis with itching and rash all over my body, the worst itching you can ever imagine. And literally after praying and praying, He said, no, He says, my grace is sufficient. So I said, oh, this is a thorn in the flesh. I've got to bear the rest of my life. But little did I realize that the thorn in my flesh were two foods that were inviting the disease into my body unknowingly. And then one was gluten, and gluten is in most everything. And that's why in my book, Let Food Be Your Medicine, I have a whole appendix showing what's the higher foods in gluten. But I remove the gluten and the nightshades, especially the peppers and paprika, and within 3 to 4 months, psoriasis was gone.
Isn't that wonderful?
Now, I could have prayed. I could have had hands laid on me by every healing minister. But unless I had taken action, faith without works is dead. But literally, God gave me an insatiable knowledge or insatiable appetite for knowledge and wisdom. And I studied under so many specialists back then. And every single alternative specialist you can imagine, homeopathy, naturopathy, chiropractic, nutrition, bioidentical dentistry, acupuncture, and I put these things together and I found the keys that I needed in order to heal. And this is what I'm sharing with people nowadays to get to the root of their illness.
There is something here, excuse me, I'm looking for, help me Lord, where that? Well, I'll look it up later, but let me share this with you because this impacted me with a powerful, powerful revelation. I had to be delivered from tobacco. These things that were major problems. I didn't care before I got saved. But then after I got saved, man, I came under conviction. And I knew this wasn't good. It had to be dealt with. So as I'm searching in the Word, I said, Lord, how are you going to deliver me from food? I got to eat. He said, I didn't deliver you from breathing. I delivered you from breathing smoke and ingesting nicotine.
That's right.
He said, I didn't deliver you from drinking. I delivered you from drinking alcohol.
Amen.
Then I saw then where he was going a little bit. I got a little insight into it. I looked up the scriptures then to stand against the spirit of gluttony. Every one of them included drunken.
That's right. It said
the glutton and the drunkard, glutton and the drunkard. Every verse that had glutton in it had. So I saw, oh, It's the same process to receive your deliverance from this. So you're not just quitting. You don't have to endure all the withdrawals. No, man, we've got the power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And he went, once I did that, and the big thing is the decision.
The decision
That's
is the key.
That's what insult and being offended tries to keep you from doing. Because you don't really, all you hear is, oh no, man, he's going to take away everything I like, and he called me fat when he did it.
That's
well,
right.
Now you've just, you have actually resisted deliverance from the thing.
That's true.
And fear has exercised its spiritual force against your faith that's become weaker because it's not being fed by the Word on this subject. And I was delivered in one day over white bread.
No withdrawal.
Doc, I ate it a loaf at a time, man. I had a good friend that worked in the bakery.
Right.
And I'd go over there and he'd pull a whole loaf of Ms. Baird's bread off of that hot thing before it sliced.
No.
And I'd pull the whole end out of it, get me a stick of butter, and stick it up in that hot loaf, put the plug back in. It'd feel like a dog when you got there.
But then you tell me you also laid
sugar. I was a bread
sugar.
Drunk.
Right. That's true. But
yeah.
That's one thing we see is a lot of people that eat a lot of starches. If you want to destroy your energy and enthusiasm and passion in the afternoon, eat a lot of pasta, a lot of bread, and it'll make you exhausted. But also, you told me that you laid sugar on the altar and coffee on the altar, too, which are extremely
Well,
important.
The same process. It wasn't at the same time. Now, the sugar and the bread were right there close together,
right.
But later on the coffee. I just took communion. I set it on a plate in front of me. Now, there's the Lord showed me what to do, and this is a process of faith. First, you say it. I have no need of you again forever, and I receive by faith my deliverance. And according to the Word of God, I'm free from you.
Amen.
And then I did it. Pushed it away. And it was gone.
And then when you saw that hot bread and saw that butter, no temptation after that.
It's gone.
Praise God.
It was so absolute in me that, for instance, the reason the Lord did that with coffee, because acids and tars had built up in my joints and they were hurting me.
Oh, sure.
And I was praying and not getting any result.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew right quick something was doing
There's
it.
A thorn. You're doing
and
a
thorn. And so, I would drink way too much of it. Did the same process. And now, here we are, 37, 38 years later, just the smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very offensive to my it just, you know, used to men, I'd just stand there and smell that coffee and smell it in the can.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could make it taste like it smelled because it smells so good. It is the most putrid smelling thing to me, man. Isn't that amazing, though?
Well, it's real acid forming. That's true.
We're out of time.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.